Residents of at least 10 Baltimore communities say a proliferation of bars and liquor stores has led to an increase in crime in their neighborhoods. They say they want the city's Board of Liquor License Commissioners to do something about it. In the first installment of her series, Closing Time, The Fight to Rid Baltimore of Liquor Licenses, WIPR's Dominique Maria Benessi talks with some of those folks.
Marvin Doc Cheatham is relaxing in the shade after helping pick up garbage at the Easterwood Sandtown Park in West Baltimore. Cheatham, president of the Matthew Henson Community Association and a lifelong resident of the community, helped build this park.
This was as a result of the Freddie Gray riots. I kept having nightmares about the fact our kids had no place to play.
But there's a liquor store just up the street from the park and others nearby. And that's a threat to the kids, he says, pointing to a map with various colored stars that represent locations of liquor stores, open air drug markets, and homicides. The map shows at least 5 liquor licenses within 2 or 3 blocks of the park, and at least 15 drug markets and murders in the same area in 2015.
We're saying there's an overlap between drugs, liquor, crime, and violence. And we're saying where there is that overlap, we need to decrease those types of businesses.
Cheatham brings the map to liquor board hearings to protest license renewals.
We need liquor board commissioners to see what kind of impact these businesses are having on our community and where they can begin to reduce them.
But that hasn't seemed to help. So now he wants the General Assembly to slap a moratorium on the transfer or sales of liquor store licenses until crime and violence go down in his neighborhood. Over in Waverly to the northeast, Liz Kassemeyer faces a similar issue.
It's not the bar's fault that enforcement isn't appropriate, right? We can only bang our heads on a couple bars for so long, and that suggests that there is a broken system.
She lives down the street from the Waverly Tavern, which once was a neighborhood bar that she says has transformed over the years.
We went from having a place that was quiet and orderly to having gang members selling drugs in front of it at all hours of the day and night. Constant noise and chaos out front. I don't even like to stop in front of that place at the stop sign because it is frightening. It's at that point you're like, could a gunfight break out here while I'm sitting here with my 5-year-old in traffic?
Kassemeyer has been trying to get the liquor board to cancel the taverns and other liquor establishments' licenses without much success. Her association and 9 other community associations have written to Mayor Catherine Pugh and City Council President Jack Young, complaining that the board has, quote, failed Baltimore communities. Their letter charges that the board has failed to set up efficient and effective systems of communication with the police department, and that the board fails to use its powers of enforcement and regulation to improve public health.
We're asking for the standards to be clear, the standards to be met, and for community members to be able to understand how to meet those standards.
But the city council can't do anything because the liquor board is a state agency. Council President Jack Young said earlier this summer that residents need to understand that. But other community associations say they don't have these problems.
As of now, I think that we have a pretty good relationship with the liquor board.
That's Beth Whitmer, president of the Federal Hill Community Association and a 4-year resident of the city.
They communicate with us very frequently. We understand what they're doing. I think they let us know what's going on. I think we feel free to support or not support a liquor license.
But the city has made some progress. In 2016, the Department of Planning updated the zoning code to limit the number of liquor licenses in the city. The new regulations, which take effect next June, prohibit taverns and packaged goods stores in residential neighborhoods. Existing licenses must meet strict standards for how much alcohol they can sell for on-premise consumption within 2 years of the rules going into effect. Liquor board members declined to be interviewed on tape, but they insist they aren't ignoring community complaints. In fact, they created a community liaison position in June to attend community meetings in places like Sandtown, Easterwood, and Waverly to listen to people's concerns. So far, the community liaison visited with 23 community associations. And they point to board regulations which limit their power to do some of the things community leaders want. For example, one rule requires licensees to, quote, operate their establishments in such a manner as to avoid disturbing the peace, safety, health, quiet, and to promote the general welfare of the community. They say that rule is vague and doesn't give the board any specific authority related to the welfare of the community. Board members say community leaders like Doc Cheatham and Liz Casimir, who want to change the operating procedures of the board, may have to direct their arguments at the state legislature to grant the board more authority. I'm Dominique Maria Benessi for 88.1 WYPR.
And a note, since this story was reported, the Waverly Improvement Association did meet with the Liquor Board's community liaison. That happened on September 4th. Tomorrow, Dominique will be talking about what the reduction of liquor licenses will look like for businesses and the community.